This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Right?
Yes.
You gonna fuck with me this week?
At some point, I'm sure.
Well, I meant about the episode number.
No.
Okay, good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Seem unsure of yourself.
Yeah. I was looking at the little timer on here and thinking about how many seconds I'm going to have to trim off from our little banter in the beginning. So.
Oh, don't trim any of it off.
All right.
Leave it on. We're going to talk about shows and stuff that we watched prior to Sunday the 11th, or including Sunday the 11th of February. Boy, this upcoming week ain't much on because of this whole Olympics.
Yeah. Olympics suck. I'm just going to say.
They're enjoyable to watch.
For some people. I enjoyed watching the U.S.-Finland hockey game, but it was women's hockey and... There was a lot of, like, the puck flying through the air. It didn't stay on the ice a lot. It was almost like football because it kept, like, woo.
Lifting that puck, huh?
Yeah.
Lift that puck.
Yep. And figure skating is fun to watch people fall, but it's the same way that some people only watch NASCAR for the crashes.
I watched the first set of figure skating, and it was some team competition thing, and there was lots of falling going on.
Makes you wonder. Like, these are the best of the best.
Yeah.
The creme de la creme.
Yeah, there was a lot of falling going on, and the commentators were being dicks.
Oh, my God. I watched the singles, and they're like, oh, what a disaster. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
That's an unmitigated disaster. I'm like, Jesus, guys. They're catty almost.
Anyhow.
There were some shows to watch.
We did watch some shows. Supergirl, last episode before a hiatus. Comes back April 16th.
Yep.
In this episode, we meet Julia Freeman, who becomes a Purity.
Purity.
Yeah, and apparently her powers are activated when Alex is a dick.
Yeah. That's her trigger. So far we've had Rain and Purity.
Yeah, the next one's like Pestilence or some shit.
Ballbuster.
I don't know. But essentially, it's another world killer, and they know who she is, and they go to her house, and she's not been activated. She's just sitting there singing Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, is that Lisa Loeb? Why?
And then when Alex just like overly aggressive, pointing, "You don't move!" pointing her gun at her, and everyone else has calmed down and been like, "Hey, let's talk this out." Then she gets scared enough that her powers react, and she becomes. Purity, and then they battle.
Has sonic scream power.
Yeah.
And white eyes with black pupils.
Right. Yeah. Right. So they battle, and she gets captured rather easily, and then...
For a world killer, yeah.
Yep. And then her crystal gets activated because they're messing around with it, and so Rain, who's in the middle of a daughter-mommy date, goes off to rescue her new world killer friend.
That's right.
Abandons
her daughter.
My buddy
needs me.
Abandons her daughter once again. And, yeah. It was okay.
I'm starting to think, okay, so in this season, we've got the world killers, who are these supreme beings that can stomp Supergirl. Right. Still haven't seen where Superman is. You know, maybe he could lend a hand. There's two of them now.
Especially now, yeah.
But it's another one of those classic TV tropes where the bad guys are getting too powerful. It's like Supernatural, you know. Oh, we fought God's sister. Where do we go from here?
Right.
You know, we're fighting the world killers.
What's next?
The galaxy killers. Also, one of my notes, I'm a little bit peeved. is that all of a sudden in this episode, it's like we veered off. Now characters often do this where, like with Alex, suddenly she's more angry.
Yeah.
You know, she's been cool, calm, and collected. But for this episode, she was angry so that we could deal with that and have her have an arc.
Yeah.
Why is Mon-El suddenly like, oh, I think I still have feelings for Kara?
Oh, yeah. The story is he only married Saturn Girl to unite the planets.
Right. But they've been married for 7 years. You don't develop feelings for somebody after 7 years. They certainly seem pretty close.
You would think. I think it's garbage.
I think it's real garbage.
I think it's garbage,
yeah. He's like, no, I've been back here for like a couple of weeks, and I want to get back in those super undies.
Sam has a little rain flash over at Lena.
Yeah.
Lena sees her eyes glowing, and I don't think she's going to put two and two together.
Lena hasn't put two and two together that Kara's Supergirl.
That's true.
She's supposed to be a Luther.
Should be obvious by now. I didn't hate it. It wasn't blown away. It was what it was.
They're doing some things really well with the whole World Killers things because they're keeping Sam a very relatable character. You know, you really kind of feel bad for her when she's in Sam mode, and you're like, man, this is ruining her life. But then when she's in Rain mode, you're like, fuck this bitch.
Right. You know? Yeah, so they're doing a good job with that.
Yep, but otherwise... Ugh.
But I wonder if the other World Killers are going to have the same issues popping back and forth or not, or is it only because Sam had a kid?
Which she wasn't supposed to.
Right. So the Flash.
Yeah. So the Flash kind of solved some problems and created more. I just got to say, Dibny's my favorite character this season.
He is mine, too.
I was worried when now he that first he's introduced not, him.
Yeah, when they first introduced him, he was obnoxious, annoying.
I thought he was going to be Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, and now that he's got his Mystique power that kind of manifested, really liking that, because he also is not an expert at it. Like when he was the warden and his ear was dripping and stuff.
I can understand him changing his skin, changing shape, and he can look like other people. Mm-hmm. But he can become black from white, too, apparently.
I guess.
So the warden's going to sell Barry and the other metahumans that they have locked up in the iron prison there to Amunet.
Yep, Amunet Black.
And
but he doesn't introduce Barry as Barry Allen the Flash. He just says a speedster.
Yeah, and she's like, yay! Yeah. So Barry breaks out and helps everyone escape because his consciousness... because of something bad's going to happen to us, we're all going to be sold off. We can all escape together.
Right. I don't want to see any metas.
Yeah. And then, of course, they get into, like, they finally get, the, you know, like, going through the tunnel system and the sewer or whatever it is, the basements, whatever you want to call it. They end up in the old section of the prison, and then they finally get out into the yard where their powers aren't dampened anymore. And then the warden and a bunch of guards show up, and you know, all they're going to work together until the warden's like, but that's Barry Allen, the Flash.
Right.
And then they're all like, oh, we're going to be turn on the Flash now.
This guy.
Yeah.
Except for, and I can't remember what her code name was, but Jinx or whatever. You know, the lucky girl.
Becky Sharp.
Yeah. Becky is like, no.
Yeah. She's no better. She's like, no, I don't want to be bad. I want to be good. The path I want to take is of good. So she sticks up for Barry.
Yep.
And to help them. And so she gives everyone bad luck. And a kind of a comedic way, Amunet shows up and, the bad luck happens. She's just like, not again. And she like ends up icing everybody.
Right.
And then runs away.
Yep.
And then DeVoe shows up in his chair.
Because they rebuilt his chair.
Yeah. And there's a thing earlier on where he's being wicked creepy with his wife. Like, I can't remember. Because of that song you keep playing in your head, I can't read your thoughts. She's like, oh,
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you reading her thoughts, Dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything she's done for you, and now you're, like, treating her like megalomaniac, I guess.
Yeah, she's still adjusting to the new body and what he's trying to do.
So apparently his new chair now can grab people by the head and put his consciousness in their bodies.
Yeah.
So that's some great, once again, odd invention tech.
Yeah.
And
the mechanic.
Of course, everyone else gets killed.
Right.
Except for Becky. Who we like now, and DeVoe puts himself in her body.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to figure it out. Did he take all of their powers?
I don't know. He might have, But it's kind of odd that he'd pick her body
right
to put himself in.
Right.
It's almost like he was testing to see if they're all compatible, and she was the only one that was.
Right.
Because then you look at the body had been, and that guy's all slumped over in the chair. Mm-hmm. But she still has all her powers, can reading minds and on yeah. and on. It just seems
and they kind
of went through such a big ordeal to get him in the body he was in.
Yeah.
And now, then all of a sudden, now he can just easily, he opened up his mind some more, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. Like, they were trying to find the right person to put it, but now he can just go into anyone.
Yeah. And, you know, Team Flash makes a comment at the end. They're like, you know, he could have gone into Iron Heights at any time and grabbed, like, Top or Mirror Master or anybody yeah. like that. But he's specifically looking for the powers of the bus metas, you know?
Yes.
So his plan either revolves around them or he doesn't have the foresight to look at a possibility that has other villains involved.
So, I mean, that means Ralph could be a target.
Right. And that's what they
hinted. The bus meta, yeah. Well, Barry... So Frost and Cisco show up to rescue Barry, and he's like, no, I'm going back to my cell because you got to get me out of here legally.
Right.
So he flashes back to his cell, so he's there, and it doesn't look like he tried to escape or whatever. He's in the wrong cell that we all last – that yeah. it seemed to last know he was in, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then – so when Digby is the warden, and then he Frost gives him the pep talk, which – I like Caitlin becoming Frost.
And I do too.
Frost shows up and she's like, oh, I guess I'm giving you a pep talk.
Right.
And then later on, she's like, well, you can return the favor if I ever decide to be evil again.
Yep.
When Digby's like, oh, like he gets the thing about being a bad guy. So I thought he was going to become Amunet.
Oh, yeah.
Then at the end, they're like doing the appeal. And he shows up as Devoe, and he's like, I apparently was just at my house.
Right.
I've been alive this whole time.
And they're like, you were dead, and now you're alive. And they're like, well, it's Central City.
We've shown that, you know, these metas can do anything. And his wife's sitting there, and she's just like, huh.
Yeah. Well played, clerks.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Basically, yeah. And then she goes back to, you know, her husband as Becky, and... Oh, I thought Barry was supposed to be in prison through all this, but now he's out. She's like, no matter. Here, have some of the weeper's tears so I can control you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an ass.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, Barry's like, no, you have to get me out of here legally. And they're like, all right, let's fool the system.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that DeVoe's still alive. And he's like, no,
okay. It's acceptable.
That's right.
Yeah.
Moral line?
Yeah.
Crossing over it.
So we got a couple week hiatus on The Flash.
Yeah.
Doesn't come back to the end of the month. I think pretty much every show doesn't come back to the end of the month because of the Olympiads.
Yeah. But you got your wish. He's out of jail.
Yeah. They've put a bow on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
The
warden's dead.
Yeah.
Because DeVoe killed the warden.
Yeah. So we don't have to worry about him knowing. Yeah, I do too.
So
we don't have to worry about him knowing Flash's secret.
Right.
Or any of the metas
that all the metas that knew were all dead. Yeah. Convenient.
Like I said, one big bow.
I watched a little bit of Arrow action.
Yep. I had forgotten that the week before, the big thing when my synopsis was fuck Arrow, I had forgotten that the big thing was that Black Siren had killed, what's her name? Dinah's partner.
Vince.
Yeah.
Black Siren killed Vince.
By sirening him in the ear and rupturing his brain.
He had healing powers, so, you know, she had to keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty graphic.
And then Dinah shoots gut shots her.
Yeah.
You think she's dead. Then at the end of the episode, you have Lance has got her handcuffed to the back of the car, wicked creepy like.
Oh, yeah.
There's some good in you after all. I know it because you were hesitant to kill the guy that you viciously murdered in cold blood.
Didn't you want him to just turn around and be like, who's your daddy?
Yeah, so that was creepy as shit.
So technically, you're not my daughter, right?
Oh, God. So what was it? So Caden's son was not killed by Arrow, and they prove that. And then basically at the end, we find out who the real bad guy is. That
it's somebody in this room, and I've gathered you all here because one of you killed my son.
Yeah.
It was me.
Yeah. Oh, Dinah is so blinded by rage. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And then at the end, just so we're clear, even though we work together really well right now, we still ain't together, horse.
Horse.
Yeah, whatever.
fucking one trick pony.
Just fuck this show. Like, I used to really enjoy this show.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah.
And then Flash has been okay for me this year.
It wasn't for Dibny and Killer Frost.
Yeah. Supergirl has just been okay.
Yeah.
But the one that I've been enjoying the most this season is Legends. And finally it comes back tonight and we get Constantine. And I'm so freaking excited about that.
Yes.
So that's the only show, like Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl are on hiatus for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Supergirl till April because Legends is back. So we're going to get Legends the next couple weeks at least. And we get Constantine. I'm psyched about that.
I think a big part with Legends is that the bar was so low.
Yeah.
Like, it's been so low consistently that, like, when you're used to something just being like, oh, it's a throwaway show, that when it shows any spark, you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
This is good.
And that's what it is.
And everybody else started off high, and then they just keep dipping lower. This one's like, eh, we're already low. So anytime we jump out of the water.
So just for some eyes real quick, The Good Place is done for the season.
Yeah.
Superstore, S.H.I.E.L.D., and Taken are all on hiatus till March.
Yep.
I caught up on Blacklist.
Ah, good.
I watched the Blacklist. I got my app to work. And
so you had two episodes?
I did. I watched them both. And I like the fact that they're back to a Blacklister of the week. And let's hunt them down. I like that we're not dealing with male agent. What's his name?
Wrestlers.
We're not dealing with wrestler being blackmailed by the guy
right anymore.
That's behind us.
Yep.
You know, I wish we weren't dealing with Liz.
That's the weak link for me. Because it's like everyone else is doing their thing and they're like falling into the groove and going after the Blacklisters. And she's like, I'll be over here, guys. I'm chasing down some leads. Yeah, whatever. It's like the kid who's the only kid at the party for adults. You know, the adults are sitting around talking. They're like, just go play with some toys.
And the other thing I have a problem with is all of a sudden we now find that the bad guy, who's been the bad guy this season.
Telly Savalas wannabe?
Yeah, exactly. He's some sort of badged officer of some kind. They show his badge, finally.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if that was... and he's working with the police officer investigating, you know, Elizabeth and you know, Tom's death, murder, allegedly, and everything. Yeah. Everyone's working together, and that's just kind of like... It's kind of a groan.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, it's kind of a groan.
You wanted him to just be... Like the
right
another red
redding be the bad guy and then you have Elizabeth who goes back. She's like, I need to be back on the team because you know I think the guy I'm looking for has a badge, so I need to have a badge myself.
Yeah,
and he's like, so this is what you need to get your revenge. Yeah, welcome back. We missed you. Yeah. I'm like, what?
What respectable law enforcement agency is going to be
like? Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's exact opposite of what we should be doing. You need a psych eval now, woman.
I did like the firebug in this one.
Yeah.
I did like that
the
character.
Cook.
The cook, yeah. I did enjoy that one. I did enjoy him. I liked the guy that helped them, you know, figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed his character. And then, of course, we find out he's probably the one that started the fire that Red got burnt in.
Yeah.
And Red's like, you're not going to light a match until I tell you to. He's
right.
Like, you can have me set fires.
Yeah.
I'll talk right outside the prison openly like that, but whatever.
Right.
The postmaster comes back, whatever, and I like that Red shot him.
Yes. I like how efficient, like, I like it when we get to dip into the actual, like, dark side of the stuff. So, like, they go over to that guy's place. I can't even remember his name.
Yes.
He's like,
the bad guy.
They're feeding body parts into the sink, and he's like, whoa. And he's like, well, you said that he stole from me.
Yeah,
so.
He goes, so, what? You know, like, Woody didn't actually steal from you. It was this guy here, but he's going to return it. No harm, no foul. The guy goes, no harm, no foul. And I expect him to be like, you stole from me. No, no. He goes, opens the door. There's a body cut up. We found him an hour ago.
Yeah.
Well, that was efficient. That was all hilarious.
That was great.
That was hilarious. Going back to Arrow real quick.
Yes.
How are we going to get there in time? I think I know we can get there. And Flash's Blur has a cameo.
Yeah.
I did like that.
Exactly.
And when they stop, John's like, like to keep the pattern
always
going. Yeah. So, yeah, I just recalled that. But anyways, it was the vomiting that reminded me. But it was good. So I enjoyed those two episodes of Blacklist. And
it's still a really solid show.
It is a really solid show, and I like the fact that we're now back into the monsters of the week, if you will, mm-hmm. the blacklisters.
Yeah, because like
more interesting.
The cook, you know, he was not an international drug smuggler. He was not a guy who was he was literally just killing women who he thought drove him out of the I want to say convent, but it's not. But
The ministry,
yes, that tempted him,
right. And then the next episode, the most recent one, The Invisible Hand, the group of friends that grew up on a cul-de-sac who got poisoned and their parents died and they'll probably be sick too. And now they're taking revenge. Almost believable.
Yeah.
I mean, a little over the top, but almost believable.
Same kind of story from Mr. Robot, you know?
Yes. It was. I thought that was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's like it's not domestic terrorism, but it's not this just big group of baddies. It's these just normal people who are.
Right. They're not going after like, oh, we've got to go after the local chapter of PETA. They're taking down the company.
They're going after specific people. Exactly, exactly. People who had things to do with that caused them their hate and discontent.
Right.
Yeah. So I enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
Oh, I want to go back to Arrow real quick. I almost forgot. Oliver's son is a friggin' moron.
Oh, my God.
Oh, let's see here. I'm in the safest place I can be, but I know my dad's going to be in the most dangerous place he can be. Gotta be with him because I'm afraid I'm gonna lose him. That's good logic. No, it's not. It's lazy fucking writing.
Yeah.
It's not like he's
some stay in the house, Carl.
It's not like some 9-10-year-old. At least that's not what he looks like. Right. He looks like he's a junior, you know, freshman in high school type of thing.
Freshman in college,
so he should have some common sense behind him, but whatever. Anyways. Sorry.
Well, when your kids get to be freshmen in high school, you see how much common sense they have. Let me know. We'll revisit
I got a 12-year-old. He's got no common sense.
Right.
Okay. So yeah.
He'd follow you.
But I doubt he'd go to, like, if he knew, if I was a masked vigilante and he knew about it, I bet you'd have enough common sense not to go, Dad's going to go to the abandoned place for the bomb that's going to destroy the city. That's where I should go. I hope he doesn't do something like that.
No.
I hope he wouldn't.
All you'd have to do is tell him that there's no Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're like, yeah, you can't get phone signal there. He'd be like, oh.
Yeah, there's no Wi-Fi. Oh, no. The X-Files.
The X-Files. Kitten.
Yeah, episode Kitten. Skinner and his old... It's a flashback story, if you will, of Skinner in Vietnam with his buddy who... And they have this crate they're supposed to deliver, and we don't know what's in it. And it's
like MK Nadine or something?
Yeah, but essentially it's some sort of poisonous gas that gives you hallucinations. Mm-hmm. And his buddy sees hallucinations of monsters, and he starts killing people.
Yep.
And now we fast forward to current times, and his buddy apparently got out of the psych ward finally.
After 38 years, seems a little...
I think he was probably given a, what's it called? When you're dying and they let you go?
Oh, yeah, reprieve or something.
Yeah, something like that. So anyways, there's people start getting killed again, so he's heading to check it out. He went AWOL, he's heading to check it out on his own. I like the fact that the director, Kirsch...
Mm-hmm.
He was on the show back in 98 to 2000. You know what I mean? He was the director. You know, he was the head back then.
And they brought him back to basically say, oh, Skinner could be promoted except for you guys. It's your fault.
But I still like the fact he's there.
Yep.
The continuity of bringing back that actor to play that character, you know, 20 years later, basically. So anyways, essentially it's now that guy's son. And so it's more like...
They did that stupid thing where it's the same actor.
Yeah, yeah. But it worked for me in the aspect of Haley Joel Osment did a great job.
Yeah.
But it was this is kind of a throwback. It's not really an investigation, but it is. Mulder and Scully are investigating something. Yes, they're looking for Skinner, but they're still investigating these odd, suspicious murders. There's government conspiracy. Where the government's poisoning us on purpose.
And we get that nice little shot at the end with the planes.
Exactly, yeah. And that was the thing. The end scene, like you said, with the voiceover about it happening and the planes, you know, spraying the fields. And it's just like...
And the chemtrails.
It was like, this is classic. Yeah. Classic X-Files. Like 2 weeks in a row, we got a nice classic X-Files Monster of the Week
story. Oh, yeah. It definitely felt very...
Yeah.
For modern conspiracies.
Exactly. And it dealt, you know, even scary...
20 years ago, you would have been like, chemtrails? What's a chemtrail?
Skinner falling in the pit, getting, you know, with the... I mean, it was cool.
He recovered from that really well.
He did.
It didn't seem to bother him. That punctured right through...
It did. He's
like, he didn't bleed out. He didn't like get weaker or anything. He's like holding his gun up. He's like, yeah, let's get me out of this. He climbed out by himself while the other two ran off.
He's tough.
Apparently.
He's a tough man. He's Walter Skinner.
Yeah.
Walter freaking Skinner. Skinner? Anyways, unrelated. But, and then, you know, Mulder's saying, or Mulder, Scully, one are both saying, like, yeah, he's basically implied that we're the reason why you've never been promoted, so we're kind of sorry about that. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm okay with it.
He's actually happy about it because they, like, reminded him that he doesn't trust the government.
Exactly.
And he didn't have to trust it because he felt like he was kind of roped in at the FBI, and then he met these two.
Complacent. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I don't have to. These guys will help me see the light and that the government sucks.
And then
sucks.
When they left, the years they were gone, he went back to that complacency, and all of a sudden now he's returned, because Kirsch even says, now that since you guys went back, Skinner's been a lot more, you know, fast and loose, if you want to call it. I can't think of the wording he used. But I guess, I think it's another good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. A good classic. You know, the fact that they're able to – because I felt like last season, as, you know, Mulder had his kind of fit of rage where basically all these conspiracies mean nothing anymore.
Right.
Because they're so – but now the last 2 weeks in a row, they've been able to fit in government conspiracy and government cover-up. Like
reminding us what was good about the show.
Yes. So I really enjoyed these last two episodes just for that.
David Duchovny's taken to social media recently saying that people, fans of the show, should stop focusing on Gillian Anderson exiting.
Right.
So I don't know if that means that he and Chris Carter are really going forward with more, or...
Well, I wonder if it's they keep waiting for something to happen to Scully in one of the episodes.
Could be that, too.
And I'm not.
No.
I personally am not. I'm, you know, if we... Honestly, if we get more episodes with just David Duchovny, I'm okay with it, because it'll work with just him.
Yep.
It'll absolutely work with just him being in it.
Yes. We saw that it doesn't work with just her being in it.
No, it doesn't, because he is the bread and butter of the series. Mm-hmm. You know, he is the guy that the show's all about.
It's basically what Skinner said in this episode. You know, yeah. He is the one that brings the conspiracies that get your head moving and that get you thinking, you know, don't trust the government, etc.
It would almost be better if they put another skeptic with him.
Yeah.
He had another partner who was a skeptic. That he was that was working kind of against him instead of, you know, yeah. I mean, it almost be better. Because, again, if they keep going like these last two episodes and he had another partner who was a skeptic, they could do, and David Duchovny wanted to do more, a couple more seasons, mm-hmm. short seasons, they could totally do it.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely love it.
Yep. Or bring in some young blood, a couple of young skeptics, and he's like their mentor. You know, he spends more time at the office.
They've kind of already introduced those, and Robbie and Mel and Einstein, the other chick. And, yeah, I can't think of, but... But even them, they're not too skeptical, though.
No.
So, anywho.
Anywho.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Do we need to talk about This Is Us? Because I think we kind of did.
Yeah, this episode was just the car.
It was the funeral. It was about the Wagoneer.
Yep.
And he had that great impassioned speech to the guy about why he needed that Wagoneer.
Yeah.
How it's going to be their car. And then they had the montage of Randall spilling a drink as a child and as a teenager, you know? And then, like, oh, I had an accident backing up, and they show just the damage to it. And
There's going to be scrapes, and there's going to be bumps, and there's going to be spills, a lot of spills. And yeah, it's a great speech. And
yeah,
it was like, good. I can't afford this, but you need to help me.
Yeah, and the guy does.
Yep.
I liked the scene where he's teaching Randall to drive, and Kevin's being a dick in the back seat, and then Randall almost crashes. And he's like, is everybody okay? Yeah. Get out of the car.
Yeah, you're walking home.
Both go, you're walking home. It's like 5 miles. Well, I guess you'll have time.
Yep.
And he just drives off. I'm like, that's awesome.
That is. Because the first thing was to check and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, okay. Now everyone get out.
Yep.
And then they get back and he's like putting spark plugs in it. And I'm like, all right, that's kind of an odd time to tune it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he talks about his brother. And that was because, like, we haven't seen, like, we've seen a couple snippets of him. You know, his brother, whatever, and he's like, my brother and I were best friends, but we had to have each other to survive, you know.
Because my dad was a drunk and blah, blah, blah.
And he's just standing there, and he's like, what? And they're like, well, you never talk about him, sorry.
Yeah.
Because they're staring, and he's like, well, what's there to talk about? We went to war, he died.
Yep.
No sense dwelling on it. So that's obviously something they have to explore.
Well, again, I watch it on my DVR, so I don't know if you get this, but... They did a little, you know, on future episodes.
No,
this
I, didn't
is
see,
us.
I didn't see that.
And one of the things they said was they specifically said, and Jack Pearson's story has not been fully told. And you see the helicopter of him,
yeah.
in Nam looking over at his brother. And
I'm really glad that we have finally seen how he died. Yes. Because that's been the linchpin the last season and a half.
Right.
When Major Dad shows up at the funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They did a good job of making him look old.
Yeah, yeah. I puffed big time for that. When he's sitting down, he's tired. He's like, and he gets done his little inspirational speech. He's like, now, normally what I'd like to do after giving a nice inspirational talk like that is to get up, give you a wink, and walk away. But I'm old, take me a good 10 minutes to do that, so I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was great.
Do you mind if I sit? It's what I'm good at these days.
Yeah. I'm glad they brought him back.
Yep.
And then he finds out Jack kept going to him for advice.
Yes.
And which no one knew. Like, oh, no, your husband, you know, and I thought that was great. I liked him as a character when they kept bringing him back last season, so I'm glad they found a reason to bring him back again.
Yep.
Because he was, like, grandfatherly to them, if you will.
Right. Yep.
And we saw the flash-forward scene, you know, where Randall's an old man now, and his daughter's grown up, and she's a social worker helping foster kids.
Yep.
So you know that's going to be in our future with probably all the characters.
Right. Which would be nice. We'll have to keep an eye out for, you know, whoever Kate's kid is going to be. And
right. So I couldn't find when This Is Us comes back.
Neither could I.
So, but I know there's still more
probably
episodes.
Just a couple of
weeks. Yeah, I know there's still more episodes this season,
though. Yep.
I did find out, though, that Timeless is coming back March 11th.
Woo!
So that's awesome.
That is awesome.
And we get Roseanne in April.
Yeah.
We get Westworld in April.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that.
And isn't it the end of this month that we get Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yeah, February 25th. We get Jessica Jones in March.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good time.
Yeah. The Detour.
The Detour.
Did you catch up?
Oh, my God. I watched the third episode last night.
Okay, so I watched
friggin' love
essentially
it.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3 of the season all kind of together.
Yeah.
So they're running together.
The town of Incognito.
The town of Incognito, who has a mayor of a llama.
Oh, well, an alpaca.
An alpaca, sorry, yeah. And who dies from eating the ant-filled tomato.
Which was gross.
That was so disgusting. Look at these giant tomatoes. And they're ripening so much faster because there's all kinds of sun. Bites into it, all these ants crawl out. Oh, my God.
I know it was CGI, disgusting. But dude, that was
bad. That was so gross.
And he's like, and then he puts the dirt in his mouth. She's like, why would you use dirt? And he goes, water. She goes, oh, that's a good idea. Takes a sip.
I found her to be wicked, wicked obnoxious in this episode.
Yes. All she three has, episodes.
Yeah, yeah, actually all three. But she has that job basically working at the titty bar.
Yeah.
And she's hanging out with her boss. It's implied it's a guy, but it's a girl, transgender, something or other.
Something, one of those.
Yeah, exactly. And then...
But she's just, like, drunk all the time.
Yeah, she's drunk. And then she comes home and then, like...
I didn't understand this part at all.
Okay, so she got her tongue pierced and it tore and...
Because she didn't actually get it pierced. She pulled back the last second and ripped a hole in her tongue.
Yeah, and so her mouth's just filling with blood. Instead of saying something, she just spits it all over him.
Yeah, she's trying to hold it in.
Yeah, and then...
Because you don't swallow it, because that's gross. It's salty.
Yeah, And then she takes her shirt off and... Or sweatshirt off, because she's wearing that excessively large tracksuit or whatever.
Yeah.
And her nipples were pierced as well, and they're bleeding.
But she also didn't go through with that.
Yeah, it was just...
holes.
Yeah, it was... I don't understand that. It was kind of...
She's basically, as the FBI agent, she was the best part, the FBI agent, like making comments on them.
Yes.
You know, she's acting like a child.
Yeah.
You know, she's acting like a teenage rebellious kid. And she's like, this woman's had more 39 birthdays than... It's true. You know,
she's not the FBI. She's the U.S. Postal Inspector.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because she saw, like, the video of him saving the people on the ride. So she went up to... Because she's still investigating.
Right.
Wait,
and wasn't she pregnant last season?
Well, okay, so they solved that by... No, she wasn't.
That's right, it was fake.
She's like, well, it said minus on the stick, and kids are such a burden. I thought that meant I was pregnant.
That's right. That's right.
So she was just eating tons of food.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's up there now, and Nate doesn't recognize her?
But he does. You know, at one point he looks at her, and they have that little flashback from last season when they were in
the
New
hallway,
York.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I know you. I do. Because she's dressed up in that, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, he was interrogated by her for 15 hours or whatever it was. And he's still...
He's a little slow.
So she ends up picking... Oh, and then, like, you know, they're trying to find a new mayor, and Jareb gets become elected mayor.
Because he can backflip.
Yeah, because he can do a backflip.
Yeah.
There, you know, it came down between him and another llama, and they had an oat eating contest.
Yeah.
And then the llama died from it, even though because the llama won.
Because it was the same thing as his yeah. father before him.
Right. So Jareb is now the mayor, and the U.S. Postal Inspector has decided that Nate's the best person to go with.
I love how she's, like, going in-depth on the mom, in-depth on Jareb. And then she comes to Delilah, and she's like, I get the sense she's up to something, but I don't care enough to even watch it. So I'm going to move on to Nate. I guess I didn't have to make a list of four people's names. I'm just a visual person.
Yeah, Delilah essentially using a snowmobile to masturbate.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because you knew what it was, and you're like, are they really going to go there? Oh, they really went there.
Jareb's like, yeah, she's got a crotch rocket, all right.
Yeah, she's like, I go out there, and I vibrate, and it gets me to this point, and then I just have to stop. But then an hour later, I'm ready to go back out again.
Yeah. Dad, the big O.
Yeah. The picture that she draws, the like the rainbows
coming out of the crotch.
Yeah.
Mom would get it.
Right.
And then he buys an electric toothbrush and says it's for your teeth.
For your teeth. Yeah. With quotes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's a good dad.
Yeah. And so apparently he's helping teach hockey, coach hockey, and the U.S. Postal Inspector is going to be his assistant.
Yeah.
And I like when she slipped and fell on the ice.
And he's like, can you skate? She's like, oh, yeah, on skates. He goes, great, get off the ice.
And the kid's like, I can see your underwear. They're blue. I don't know why I put that tickled me, but it did.
It was great. It's that whole Delilah's boyfriend thing there.
Oh, God, that whole part was stupid. Yeah, I hated it. That was
Like, it took everything else up until that point, listening to her, like, you know, stuffing her face still and making the comments and following them around. I'm like, okay, I could get into this. Oh, there's some funny stuff. That just killed it for me.
It really did, yeah. He just basically said Nate was a giant racist who said, accused him of saying racist things about him and to him, which he never did.
Right.
And then calls him on the carpet in front of everybody at this one-man show, and Nate's like, no, I never said any of that. But then for his daughter, he apologizes.
Right, because his mom's like, Delilah, you get out here right now. Are you going to let him? And she's like,
Yeah, and mom's just like, no, this never happened.
Right.
Which, that's how I would be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, something like something as big as that.
Yeah,
that would be like if he stood up there and said, you know, oh, this man touched my genitals. And he's like, okay, I apologize.
Yeah, no,
you don't admit to stuff like that.
No, you don't.
You don't say, yes, I'm racist because my girl likes this guy. Well, she shouldn't be with him, Nate. Well, I know she shouldn't be with him, but I'm still going to support her. No.
What else you watch, sir?
I didn't watch any other show. I finished up. Oh, I meant to talk about this the other day. I finished up Marvel's Runaways on Hulu. It was actually good. It got better as the series went on. A lot going on. You find out about why the parent secret organization was formed and what they do. And I really enjoyed it by the end. Like, the beginning was kind of slow going. You kind of didn't care about these teenagers. One of the characters in there, Molly, in the comics, she's a little kid, like, you know, 6 or 7 years old. And in this one, she's a teenager. But you can tell that they pulled the material right out of the comics because there's like times when she'll use her super strength and then curl up and take a nap because she's tired. And you know that that's because she was a 6 or 7 year old in the comics. And it would have made sense. But as a teenager, you're like, this is just weird. You know, now she's just a 13 year old curled up on the hood of a car taking a nap. No. But yeah, I suggest that people watch it. It's cool. It's probably not going to ever have a tie into the rest of the Marvel universe. I don't foresee any of this showing up on Infinity War.
Yeah,
but it was enjoyable.
I'm not gonna watch it.
No, I figured. But yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know that I did finally finish that up, and it was not bad.
So we finished up Altered Carbon.
Yes.
And so
let's dig into this because we kind of touched upon it last week. The basic gist of it.
Yeah.
You know, people are sleeves.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the first half of the series, essentially.
Yeah. But it really shifts gears in the second half.
the first half is we're building the universe we're in, how it works, I'm investigating it. We're delving into his past, Takeshi Kovacs' past and everything.
Which they really are in love with their universe. And it's yes. okay because they do a good job.
Right. Then we meet his sister in the past.
Yep.
And then...
which we've seen her in a few flashes now and then. Right. You know, like them as kids and he's had memories.
The assumption is she's been killed. She was killed.
Right.
And we don't know who the girl was that he was with when he got captured at the beginning.
Right.
We just know she got shot through the stack and she's dead forever, but we don't know who she was.
Right.
And that's never established. We find out that his sleeve that he's in was the boyfriend of the detective, Ortega, whatever, that was investigating him and kind of working with him.
Yeah.
And once they discover that he's in his sleeve, they find out that he was wrongly, well, she's convinced he was innocent of what he was charged with.
Right.
And apparently what you can do in that time frame, if someone goes to jail, they can take your stack out and put you in jail, and then your body is now just a sleeve for someone else to use.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically he's running around in her boyfriend's body.
Yeah.
And enjoying freedom, meanwhile realizing that there's a stack of her boyfriend sitting out there somewhere.
Yeah. But they basically start a relationship and they're dating.
Yeah.
And they find themselves captured in a scenario where they're being forced to fight in this underground fight club thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they team up together to defeat these two quote-unquote monsters. And then a bunch of ninjas now come in to fight them. And then another ninja shows up and kicks everyone's ass.
Yes.
And rescues Kovac, who's been injured, and it's his sister.
Yeah.
Who's apparently still alive after all this time.
Don't forget, somewhere in there, the female cop gets an arm replacement.
Yes, that's right.
Was that as a result of the Fight Club?
No, that was a result of... okay, so there's this assassin guy that they call a ghost because he doesn't appear on any of their cameras. They can't catch him.
Right.
And he basically will ask people do you believe and do you have faith or something?
Yeah, because he's one of those religious zealots.
Yeah, and he has this tool that basically it's...
looks like a hyper melon baller.
It really does, and it opens up, and it's made to rip a stack out.
Yep.
So it's made to open up wide enough to break into the skin, grab the stack, and rip it out. But he also uses it to, stab people with, and it rips chunks out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to her. He put it into her shoulder, and it ripped a big chunk out of her shoulder and essentially cut her arm off. But, it was just – so it's kind of a cool part where Kovac runs to a hospital, and the nurse is like, yeah, well, we need payment. So he puts, her hand on it. And she goes, oh, she doesn't have enough credits. So you refuse to treat her? Well, no. We'll get to her when we get to her. Just put her over there. And so then he spits on the thing,
you got all these credits.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, he basically buys her a new arm.
Yeah.
So she's got kind of
She's pissed at first, but then it's kind of a cool arm.
Yeah. There's the bad guy at the beginning that tried to assassinate him at the hotel, and apparently he's double sleeved, they call him. He's got all these different people. And one of the things is when they're fighting in the pit, in this thing they're forced to fight in after they defeat the two baddies, he shows up first. And eventually they rip his stack out, and he throws it. He cuts up this guy's stack out, and he throws it to her, and she grabs it and crushes it. Yep. She's like, all right, I like this sleeve.
Yeah.
And then his sister shows up and saves the day.
Right.
So at first we get her song and dance that, she's just been muddling through. And when she heard an envoy was back, she had to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my brother and I'm so excited. But essentially we find out that she's a sociopath who's in love with him.
Yeah.
And it's her fault that all the other envoys got killed because she ratted them out.
Yeah. Yeah. We get this whole episode that's like a flashback to what happened at the end. And from that point on, the episodes kind of get weird.
Yeah, they do.
Like, the best way I describe it,
they took a big twist.
Yeah, well,
They kept
taking turns and twists. It felt like the end of the original Clue movie.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, that could have happened, but what about this?
Yeah.
Well, wait, that could have been it, but what about this? Because we keep getting oh, this is what happened. You know? Even to him solving the murder of the guy. Like, he brings everybody together and he's like, oh, she did it, and this is why, and this is how, and they present this whole thing.
Right.
You know, she poisoned you, and she poisoned your stack, and blah blah blah. And it's like, okay,
and it made you, and then she killed you.
Yes,
which wasn't what happened, but he told all this lie to get his deal, where he gets his pardon.
Right.
And then now that he's been pardoned, now he can really look into what happened and investigate it. But like all these weird shit happens, like. One of the daughters, like the 12th kid, likes to sleeve up in one of her mom's extra sleeves and go fuck people.
Yeah, because her mom has such a perfect body, so she's like, I want to see what it's like.
Yeah, and then you have like the sister apparently had been interacting with him because he finds out that there's all these sleeves from a little girl he ran into at like the museum to this affluent auctioneer person who finds rare things and found him to right. be the investigator, a casino club owner. I mean, all these different people that he's interacted with before he found out his sister was alive, he's discovered was her in these different sleeves.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's different times where it breaks down to like an old classic gumshoe detective story. And
eventually, but then they keep going, what a twist.
Yeah, but then there's this twist. But then there's this twist. Yeah. And
oh, she blew up in the thing. But wait, she didn't really blow up. But wait, she didn't really blow up and she backed her up. But maybe she did, but maybe she didn't.
Right. It's kind of convoluted.
It was very convoluted. For very a show convoluted. That like built such an in-depth world and was really good about keeping their mythology straight.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when his sister's introduced, it's like that all goes out the window, and they're like, let's make this as confusing as we can.
Yeah, and that's
let's double and triple sleeve people, and let's put this person over here, and she was really all these people, and I don't know. It felt like a different set of writers took over the back half. It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible, and I enjoyed it. It really took a change of pace. It's literally like we got a new showrunner.
Yes.
Halfway through.
Yep.
First half, these guys did it. The second half, these guys did it.
Yep.
And essentially, it all comes to a head.
It's like halfway through, they got introduced to meth.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa!
It all comes to a head on this ship in the sky, where people go up for their sexual fantasies and to kill people. And on and on and on. And that's where his sister's hanging out.
Yep.
And their goal is to prevent her from being able to do a backup so that she has nothing to go back on.
Right.
And so they make this elaborate plan, and they get in there, and they manage to send this device in there that's essentially like a impulse thing.
EMP.
It's like an EMP, which prevents her from backing up when she's supposed to.
And they've got the whole that nanovirus thing that goes into Sachs as well that they tested out on the AIs, and Poe had to kill one of his quote-unquote friends in order to make sure that this worked. And
yeah, and Poe gets killed.
Yeah. Which is terrible.
It was terrible. But he sets the girl free.
Yeah.
And she ends up going up to the ship and then gets put into an artificial body. And then she becomes herself. Like, she changes the artificial body to look like her normal self.
Mm-hmm.
And then she puts on a weird black leather outfit that's not very complimentary to her.
Yeah.
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 And then proceeds to, like, be a badass fighter.
Yeah.
Then we get the elaborate story reveal finally from when the sister tells the whole plan of everything, of what she did, why she did, what she's going to do now, what she wants from him, on and on and on.
The D.
Huh?
The D.
Yeah.
What she wants from him, essentially.
Right, yeah, the deep D, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, it ends really kind of ambiguous. Like, all right, so they stop her. They save the day. They reveal that the guy actually did commit suicide.
Yep.
Because he murdered someone. And
real death murdered someone.
He real murdered someone, and he couldn't live with the guilt of it, so he killed himself.
Yep.
But then he was too arrogant to believe he actually killed himself, ultimately. Right. So we find that's what actually happened. He killed himself.
Again, we've heard like three different stories of what happened to this guy.
Right.
At this point. And you're like, is there going to be a fourth? Is there going to be a fifth? You know?
And then the police come along and arrest him for real murder.
Yeah.
They arrest his wife for murder.
Yeah. Sleeve murder, though.
Sleeve murder, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they get taken off to jail. We get the mom gets her sleeve back because Kovac pays off the mortgage.
Right.
On her sleeve. So they can be a family again, the three of them together. We get Okay, so this is where it's weird.
This is where, dude.
Well, it's no, weird. Okay. So Kovac created a double of himself.
Yeah.
Double sleeved himself. So if and sent him away.
Yeah.
So if something happened to him, there'd be another version of him around just in case.
Right.
To come back and stop it all.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the end, when we now have two Kovacs,
mm-hmm.
and because of laws and regulations and da-da-da-da-da, we can't have that.
Right.
So one of them has to die. And they decide between themselves which one of them is going to be killed, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And their stack destroyed. After that happens, we find out that Riker,
yeah.
he's innocent after all. And they're able to prove he's innocent. And he didn't actually murder anyone. So, you know, they're going to let him go. So Kovac's going to give up the sleeve so Riker can be put back in his own sleeve so he can be with Ortega. Why didn't he just take Riker's right. other sleeve?
Exactly.
And be go
like,
away.
Be like, let's just take the stack out of this one.
Yeah.
Put it back on ice for Riker. Oh, wait, Riker's okay? Oh, well, let's put it back in there.
Yeah, so that was weird to me because at the end of the episode, essentially at the end of the series or the season or whatever it is.
Season, I'm pretty sure they're coming back with a stack.
You have Kovac who's like going to give up Riker's sleeve so Riker can come back. We don't know what's going to happen to him. Ortega's cleaning up the house for Riker to come home, and he just kind of walks away.
Yeah.
And it's kind of left like, it's assumed he's, you know, like, it was weird.
Because the thing about Envoys is that they were able to jump between bodies. We saw his sister doing crap like that.
Yeah.
How she, like, jumped into Ortega's sleeve.
Yes.
And jumped into other sleeves, like, whenever right. she felt like it. So it's assumed that he could do something like that, or that they'll take his stack out and then put him in a different sleeve for the next, you know, season.
Right.
Because he still has that whole thing where he has to go find his mentor's, you know,
right,
stack if she's out there.
She's still out there somewhere.
Supposedly.
Because his sister, you know, like basically says, oh, no, she's still out there. I know where she is.
I backed her up.
Yeah, I backed her up.
But you'll never find her without me.
And so.
Did anyway.
But it's just kind of weird because, like, oh, and don't forget along the way, Kovac's body is still there because.
Because why
Max
not?
Hedrum,
yeah.
who's essentially in the show. It's Matthew Furrer,
uh-huh.
and he's playing Max Hedrum.
I had to
live
do like a double, triple take on him. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
He's dressed up like him and everything.
He's Max Hedrum.
Yeah.
He essentially found Kovac's DNA and duped his body.
Yeah, because cloning exists. And,
yeah, so
but,
that was a little
but
convenient.
That's the other thing,
but that
too,
was 250 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is, you know, they made it a point early on, the guy that they were investigating, you know, the one who was the cult leader and the following, that they said that he has a lot of clones of himself, but they're like, just, you know, we all know that clones are prohibitively expensive. Like one clone costs more than most people will make in like five lifetimes.
Yeah.
So they're obviously stupid expensive, but yet this guy's like, oh, just on a whim, I'm going to make a clone of this dead envoy and just keep it around.
On ice.
For whatever reason, for 250 years, just in case.
Okay. Why not?
You know?
So there's some holes in it.
There's some holes.
But I enjoyed it overall.
I did enjoy it.
The ending was kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
A little ambiguous, I guess, but.
There'll definitely be a second season, and he'll probably be investigating more stuff, and they'll probably get a different actor to play him. Because
right, which kind of stinks, because I enjoyed this character
in
the sleeve, if you will.
It's kind of like a Doctor Who kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
They definitely took a page out of Doctor Who's book, except
that's
for.
That's true.
You know,
it's not regeneration, though.
No. Because you can go back, obviously, if you talk to Max Hedrum.
Uh-huh. That was Max Hedrum.
It was Max Hedrum. Oh, yeah. The outfit never. Dude, yeah. All it needed was him to twitch once. All
right.
You know, be like, you'd be like, ah!
Waiting for it.
Yep.
You're waiting
oh,
for
I did too.
A stutter of some kind. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, I do highly recommend you watch this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This was a great Netflix show.
Yeah.
10 episodes. It was super enjoyable. The visuals were great. Like I said, they built this world and really invested in it.
Yep.
Like, they didn't cut corners.
No.
I was really impressed. Just kind of got weird towards the end.
It did get weird towards
the end. The whole incest thing and the sister. And,
yeah, she was definitely, yeah.
It,
a little too in love with her brother.
Not only was it weird, but it's kind of been done, you know?
Yeah.
See, it's kind of been done to death. But whatever.
It almost would have been better if it would have been an obsessive girlfriend as opposed to a sister.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
So, Law and Order SVU.
You mentioned that you were going to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I've been watching it all season, and I've said it's not been a bad season, but it hasn't been anything that I want to really, really talk about. Mm-hmm. Well, this episode is one I want to talk about.
Okay.
It's a really. It's one of those. It's like one of those really, really, really good episodes of Law and Order, and it could be some nostalgia factor because the show opens. We see the funeral of Ben Stone.
Oh.
Ben Stone was the ADA from seasons 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And his eulogy is being read by Jack McCoy, who was the ADA from seasons 5 through 20.
Right.
And
But that's like classic Law and Order.
Yes, the original run.
Yeah.
And so, and Jack McCoy was on SVU after as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for a little while. So we get during the funeral, as I knew it would happen, McCoy gets done his eulogy, which was great, by the way. And he goes and sits down, and he turns, and you see Peter Stone sitting there.
No.
So I'm like, okay, he's got to be on the episode if this is what's happening. Now, Peter Stone was first introduced as the lead character and who they call the assistant state's attorney on Chicago Justice.
Which they're all tied in.
Chicago Justice is another Dick Wolf show that's part of the Chicago franchise. You have Chicago Fire, PD, Chicago Med, Chicago Justice. So there's 4 Chicago shows, but Chicago Justice got canceled after that one short season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of curious what they're going to do. And this all takes place in the Law and Order universe.
Right.
Because one of the things I liked about the reason
Dick Wolf-averse.
Yes. The reason why I watched the Chicago Justice is because of the fact that he was going to be Ben Stone's son.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had Robinette in one of the episodes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool as shit. Because I'm a big fan of the original Law and Order run, especially the first few seasons.
Right.
To me, those episodes still hold up. Even though they, you know, the technology's changed, they don't have mm-hmm. like cell phones or this, that, whatever. I think they're just good, gritty shows that I enjoy watching.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I liked it a lot, this episode a lot, because we got to see those characters. They introduced them. Like, so he's going to be on the show somehow later on.
Mm-hmm.
So the main article of the main part of this story is that this child, this parental kid, he's kidnapped by his father.
Okay.
And the father reveals, well, because, you know, his mother wants to murder him. And what it is this child has a birth defect. It's called MDDS.
Okay.
And essentially the kid is blind, deaf, can't breathe without a ventilator, can't smell. I mean, is just, yeah, like, essentially the kid's born. They find out the kid has this. And
the kid's born to die.
Yes, essentially born to die. And the mother's waiting on a judge to give the permission for the kid to die.
Right.
And the dad doesn't want to do it because he can't do it, and on and on and on. And so he, like, kidnaps the kid and has kind of a police standoff. And there's a scene that's a little unbelievable where Olivia's like, I'm going to go in there. And everyone's like, no, we got a shot. We should kill him. He's got a gun. She's like, no, I'm going to go in by myself and talk to him. And he invites her in. And she's like, I know what a paintball gun looks like, guy, and takes the gun from him, and he breaks down and cries. And then mom and dad aren't even mad at each other later. Like, they break down and cry and hug each other because they're going through a horrible ordeal. And they really emphasize how horrible of an ordeal this is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the baby that's in this ventilator is adorable, which makes it even worse because it tugs at the heartstrings. You know what I mean? And essentially, Barba aids in the infant dying.
Okay.
They're in the room together, and he basically tells the mom, go ahead and pull the plug on the ventilator. And she just can't bring herself to do it. And there's some great emotion by this actress. I mean, really good. So he just tells her to leave the room. And she leaves the room, and Barbara's looking at the baby, and he's welling up, and he's crying. And you're looking at the switch, and then it kind of goes to commercial. And the next scene comes back, and Barbara's standing there, and he's like ordering a coffee. Olivia comes up, and she's like, what the hell did you do? And he's like, I know. And basically, he pulled the plug on this kid.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack McCoy puts Barbara on trial for murder.
Wow.
And Peter Stone is hired by McCoy to be the special prosecutor for the state on this.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, of course, Olivia hates Peter. And she's just like, I hope you're terrible at your job. Which is exactly what she says.
Right.
Long the short of it, the jury agrees with Barba. And, again, this really great episode, really great acting, wonderful story. It really makes you consider – you know, the right to die type of thing, mm-hmm. or you know what I mean? And,
yep.
and what's the humane thing to do for this child who literally can't see, can't speak, can't hear, can't smell, can't do anything because of this really, really rare disease. Oh, and to boot, there's another thing in it where when the mom was 5 months pregnant, they told her there's a high possibility your child has this during the testing that they can do. And the husband wanted to have her, you know, abort the pregnancy. And she was like, no, there's a chance he won't be. We can handle this. And then so there's some guilt there because she essentially made a decision to give birth to this child who they're just now they're waiting for this child to die.
Gotcha.
And so it's – I mean, I even looked up the disease after, and it is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. So the jury agrees with Barba, and he is found not guilty.
Oh, that's good.
And then Barba resigns.
Oh.
He quits his job at the AD's office, which – I've enjoyed his character the last few years, so it's kind of like
that opens that up a hole for Stone.
And Peter Stone is now the new ADA on the show going forward. So
you're like, I like this.
I do like it because it's if you think about it, Law and Order started what 1989 it first aired.
God.
Okay. It's now 2018, 29 years later. The son of the original ADA is an ADA on the show.
Yep.
I like the continuity. I like the connection to everything.
Cool.
Yeah. So, God, yeah, that was a 1989. Crazy. Or might have been 1990, but still crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah, so Peter Stone's now going to be the ADA going forward, replacing Barbara in the series. Which
is cool.
Yeah. Which then I wonder, like, okay, so the actor who played Barbara was like, as soon as the Chicago Justice got canceled, were they like, oh, well, let's get rid of him so we can have this guy? Or they're like, he wanted to leave the show, and they thought, oh, well, now that Chicago Justice got canceled, we can bring him over.
Right.
Because, like,
with 1990.
Okay, 1990. Okay. So with Chicago, like, Med and police and fire and all that stuff, they still have lawyers needed. So, I mean, like, I don't know if he – I don't watch the other three.
Right.
So, like, my thought was, like, when the show got canceled, I was like, well, you'll still see him as a secondary character or, like, presumably on Chicago PD or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now he's going to be on SVU now. So, I don't know. This was really great episode. So he
moved from Chicago to New York.
Yeah. Well, he was there for his dad's funeral.
Right.
And Jack's like, hey, we'll always hire you here. And he's like, no, I'm good. And then when he needed him for this, he took the job, you know, and
so he basically brings him in as a special prosecutor.
Yeah.
The guy loses.
He loses.
Jack's like, all right, you're my man. I'm hiring you.
Well, he loses, but it's because it's funny because, like, Olivia tries to talk to him about it, like, you know, like, and he's saying, like, Barba is a great man, you know, like, he made a poor decision. And like, she's basically coming to his aid saying, like, you can't be hard on him. And Stone's stance is like, well, if we say this murder is okay, then we're saying that it's okay to murder people sometimes.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's, you know,
it's a precedent.
Right. Yeah. It's like, well, like, you know, like, why are you doing this? I'm not doing this to him. I'm enforcing the law. That's my job.
Right.
So it's good in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, he has his stance, like, you know, like, I'm not making – this is not a moral decision that I'm making. This is the law, and I'm following the letter of the law.
Yeah.
So, like, if you want to – so, like, if ever you need me to fall back on, I have this in writing saying this is what we're supposed to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's like, this is nothing personal. I'm following the letter of the law. So I don't know. And I liked the actor. I can't think of his name now, but I liked the actor who played Peter Stone in the original Chicago Justice. And so it's cool seeing him here. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just looking forward to seeing going forward now. It actually – kind of reinvigorated my Law and Order, because Law and Order was kind of a background show I throw on once in a while type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like, but now this has kind of reinvigorated my wanting to watch it because it's got that connection to, like, that the original run.
Nice.
Oh, and I did look it up because at first I thought when they said, oh, Ben Stone is dead, I thought, oh, did Michael Moriarty, who played him, did he die? And this is kind of like their tribute to, oh, no, he's still alive.
Good.
This is just the catalyst to get Peter Stone on the show.
Right.
So, yeah, it's cool. I liked it a lot. And if you're not a huge fan of the show, you can still go watch this episode and enjoy it because it is a powerful story. It's called The Undiscovered Country. I know. Oh, gosh. Okay, so it just reminds me of, of Blacklist. I mean, what is this Star Wars? Yeah, may the Force be with you. I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, I loved all the. I got any trailers?
No. I feel like I watched some, but I don't think that I really did.
You might enough, a couple movies?
I only saw one movie.
Well, we watched one together, and you told me you watched another one on your own.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did watch one together. I completely forgot about that, yeah.
We watched Happy Death Day.
Yes.
Which is a time loop movie.
Yeah.
About a girl who wakes up on her birthday and is murdered, and then wakes up again, and she has to figure out who murdered her. And so there's some horror elements and there's some comedy elements.
Yeah.
And I guess, funny enough, when we put the DVD in, the first trailer is another time loop movie. Yeah.
Except for that one seemed to be more touching.
Yeah. More touchy-loving. Anyhow, so the main character starts out very non-likable.
Oh, I hated her.
Yeah, and you wanted to see her die and
over
all her
and
friends.
Over,
yeah.
Yes.
And then by the end, they have made her a redeemable character.
Yep.
Yep. So that's kind of nice.
Yep.
I enjoyed the flick.
I did.
I'm glad I didn't go to the theaters and see it.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I spent $1.50 on Redbox and watched it.
Yep.
But it's worth a watch.
Yeah. If you like time loop type stuff,
we do
minor horror. You know,
some comedy.
Yep.
Couple over the top comedy scenes. I believe it's PG-13.
Yeah, because there's that one scene where she like walks naked, and you know,
you don't
see anything except for butt.
Yeah, you see some butt,
And all the deaths happen very like not really off screen, but like just as you're about to get stabbed in the head,
they cut away. But yeah, so decent.
It was decent,
worth watching.
Yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up.
Worth a watch. Yeah. And then the other flick that we watched, The Cloverfield Paradox.
Yes.
We did not watch it together, but we both did watch this.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it pretty much.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't have gone to the theaters and saw it.
No.
But for a Netflix flick, it was good.
It was solid.
Yeah, it's worth, I mean, if you already got a Netflix membership subscription, you like, might as well watch it.
That's right. If you're paying for it for other things, then this is just, you know, a little bonus, I guess.
And essentially, it takes place in 2028. The Earth is under an energy crisis, and they must find a way to help it. And so all these astronauts go on this International Space Station, and they're trying to power up a particle accelerator to supply endless energy supply to the Earth.
Yep.
And
But Donald Logue gives us a nice little, like, he has this little speech about the possible things that could happen, you know, basically telling the audience, this is what's going to happen.
Right,
you
know,
he's like, we're talking about clashing realities, and realities could overlap, and we could open holes to other dimensions, and demons could come out, monsters, and all these things. And you're like, okay, so all those are going to happen.
Right.
Now, he could have said, and there'll be a clown in a funny wig, and you'd be like, all right, here comes the clown in a funny wig.
Right. I was reading that his character is named Mark Stabler.
Okay.
Or Stambler. And Howard Stambler is the conspiracy theorist that John Goodman played on 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh.
So there's a connection.
Okay.
There. It's a son, nephew, relative of some kind.
Okay. I'm trying to do the math in that. Because we don't even know when 10 Cloverfield Lane took place.
Well, I feel like 10 Cloverfield Lane takes place at the same time as Cloverfield, the original movie.
Okay.
Which, if that's the case, then that would be 20 years later. So it's probably a nephew or some kind of
brother.
Well, maybe brother. I don't know.
Because Donald Logue is no spring chicken.
No, he's not. But we don't really see him. He's on a little screen in the space station that the guy's watching.
Right.
While they're getting ready to fire this thing up. And then apparently, let's see here, Susan Cryer, who is the newscaster interviewing Stambler, mm-hmm. Mark Donald Logue's character, she appeared as Leslie in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know if that's just a
recycled actress thing.
Because you also had, Simon Pegg and Greg Grunberg.
Yep.
They had cameos in this movie as the radio voice and Joe.
Oh, interesting.
Respectively. So, anyways. So they go on a space station And they're trying to get this part accelerator to work. And
they tried it 46 times.
Yep. And we get a montage that they've been up there for 2 years, and it just hasn't worked. And the Earth's on the brink, but they're not actually warring yet. And then they finally get to fire up. And, of course, the fire starts, and then we find out that they've been jumped to another dimension.
Allegedly.
And then all kinds of funky shit start happening.
Yeah. We get a woman who appears in the wires.
She's in the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to take down this wall panel, and there she is, and there's wires going through her, and she's from that dimension, who was on that version of the ship, except that one blew up and crashed in the ocean.
Right.
And the Earth had been at war for like 14 years or 14 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not good.
No.
Not good.
No, it's a darker,
yes.
The darker timeline.
So, basically, they spend the movie trying to figure out how to get back to their own version of reality, their own reality.
Meanwhile, dying off one by one.
Of course.
And the lady there discovers that on this version of Earth, her kids never died. She never killed her kids accidentally.
Right.
So she's like, I'm going to go down there. And they're like, there's already a version of you there. Yeah. What are you going to do? And she's like, you don't understand this. I have my kids back. And they're like, you're being an idiot.
No, you don't. Yeah. Which she doesn't do eventually.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, on Earth, on the, you know, their Earth, there's all these monsters that have showed up.
Yeah.
And the Cloverfield monsters, if you want to call them that. And so they're under – this Earth is under siege with these monsters.
Because the whole – this energy source taps into a phenomenon called the Cloverfield effect.
Right.
Or Cloverfield paradox.
Yes.
Hence the name of the movie. And this is why we've got 10 Cloverfield Lane and Cloverfield and it all ties together.
Yeah, but it's kind of in a weird way because it's this three movies that all tie together and are associated with each other, but they couldn't be more different as far as style and format. The first one's the found footage.
Yeah.
The second one is like...
Bad.
Huh?
Bad.
Okay, yes. But the second one is, you know, like...
Captive.
Three people. Yeah, it's like a kidnapped movie, three people in a room.
Yeah.
So you're in a closed, confined area and stuff's going on outside. And of course, at the end, they get out and you see what happens. And then now this one is, you know, it's in the same universe or whatever, which... I know this takes place in 2028. I don't know when the first two take place. However, it just seems kind of weird that we had monsters, and now 20 years later we have monsters again, but it's...
Remember that Donald Logue said that we wouldn't just be punching a hole in reality, we'd be punching a hole in time and space. So we could be affecting the past and the future at the same time.
Okay.
So that's how he gets around that.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's what it is. But
because remember, jumping ahead, in the end, when they're like coming back down, and he's like, why are they coming back down here? Don't they know what's going on?
Right. That's I was going to get to that. Like Michael, that's the girl's husband. Mm-hmm. He ends up in a fallout shelter similar to 10 Cloverfield Lane, mm-hmm. but it's not the same guy.
Right.
And he's basically like, why didn't – because they've jumped into pod, and they're heading back to Earth. And it's like, why didn't you tell them not to come here and blah, blah, blah. And then you see the pod go down through the clouds, and then all of a sudden a giant monster bursts up through the clouds. And honestly, of the whole movie, that is the part that really made me groan and kind of been like, no.
Yeah.
Because how big is that monster?
It was too big.
You know what I mean? That monster is like a fucking mile tall.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just that was absurd.
Yeah.
That was absurd to me.
Yeah.
It's not like it's Godzilla.
It was
way bigger.
Way too big.
Because that shuttle is essentially like, imagine a penny flying by you.
Yeah.
That was the equivalent that they gave, you know, as far as size projecting.
Yep.
If you held a penny, if you're a normal average adult, like I'm 5'9", if I held a penny, that would be the shuttle and I would be the monster that burst through the clouds. That is absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, it kind of... It was almost like they were like, oh, look what else we did, kind of thing.
They're making a fourth movie. I don't know when it's going to be out, but I know they're working on a fourth movie now. I don't know if it's going to be a Netflix original or what it's going to be. But I did think it was kind of neat that they had the trailer during the Super Bowl and then said, hey, the movie drops after the Super Bowl.
Right.
So they debuted the trailer and said it's appearing now, basically.
Yeah, which was...
Yeah.
Almost unheard of, but it's kind of good.
Yeah.
because it's kind of like how for the past several years people have been talking about the whole, I want to say video on demand, but it's not, day and date release.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, okay, this movie comes out in the theaters and in Redbox and on demand on the same day so that you could get it across any platform. This seems like a natural step to that. Like, hey, here's a trailer. Go watch the movie right now.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, I'm kind of reading here, and apparently on the day of the Super Bowl, the movie, the cast had thought this movie was called The Wrap. And I think we had heard scuttlebutt about it, but we hadn't seen a trailer. We didn't know anything about it. And all of a sudden, the day of the Super Bowl, apparently on a conference call with the actors, they told them about the title, the advertisement, and the release on a conference call.
Nice.
Hey, by the way, this is called The Cloverfield Paradox. We're going to drop the trailer during the Super Bowl. The movie comes out after the Super Bowl. Because they want it to be a big surprise everything.
Right.
And it worked.
Yep.
It worked that way. And I'm reading here, and it says, in late January 2000, the Hollywood Reporter, that Netflix was interested in picking up the film from Paramount following a similar deal the streaming service had worked out for the film Annihilation. Which is Annihilation, is that Natalie Portman movie?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. It's going to be released in the United States, Canada, and China by Paramount Pictures on February 23rd and released in other international markets by Netflix the same day. So Netflix and other countrysides, U.S., Canada, and China are going to release this movie on Netflix, whereas we're getting that in the theaters here. Okay. It's kind of different.
Yep.
Kind of neat.
Yep.
But, I mean, I'd say watch the movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a watch.
Got some cool deaths.
If you like, every once in a while I want to watch a good space movie.
Yeah.
It's a good space movie in that aspect. Yeah. You know, it's on people on a space.
As station. I told you, it reminded me a lot of Event Horizon.
Yes.
Only a more PG-13 version of Event Horizon.
And I really liked Event Horizon. I'm a big fan of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like...
My ex was a little obsessed with it.
Oh, really?
She was like overly obsessed with it, and I'm not sure why, but yeah. I mean, it was a good movie. It was definitely not obsession worthy.
Well, it's hard to get a good space movie sometimes.
It is.
Because, like, and as always, you know, the aliens set the precedent. Well, you got to have a bunch of people trapped on a space station or shuttle or ship or whatever it is with a monster coming after.
Right.
Which we saw in Alien, which we saw in Life, and I really enjoyed Life.
I still got to check that out.
You haven't seen it.
No, it's on Hulu.
You need to watch it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then now with this Cloverfield Paradox, we kind of get the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there's a couple cool comedy moments. The guy loses an arm.
That was great. That was,
and that's pretty funny. So,
because he's a good comedic actor, anyway.
He is a good comedic actor. Yeah. But yeah, I would definitely say watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like any of those genres that we talked about.
I mean, it's an hour and 40 minutes.
Definitely, though, if you had a choice on Netflix originals, go with Altered Carbon.
Yeah, watch Altered Carbon first.
Yeah, because Altered Carbon was great.
Yeah.
Just weird.
But I think that does it for me.
Yeah, that does it for me.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening. You can find me on the Twitter machine at Superstar Mel.
You're going to throw a wrench in your Twitter machine.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm at the Quantum Geek G33K.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter platform. Social media platform.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week? Go give us a like, please.
I was going to say, what is it? You're like, go give us a like now.
Please. And thanks.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Go! Oh.